You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Wrestling Remembered. I am your host, Joe. What a day, Lowry. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here on this Friday. And this week, we're talking hypotheticals here as we pit our stars of yesterday against the stars of today. You know, if video games can do it, why can't we, right? You know, so that's what I'm saying on this one. But first, with me, as always, are my wrestling esteemed colleagues. And first up, we have my brother from another mother, the Poet Laureate of Money in the Pharaoh Channel, and a worthy challenger for my D-30 title. Let's welcome to the show, Mr. Benny Scala, a.k.a. The Player. Benny, what's happening?
As I said last night, thank you very much. Give me a chili dog, baby. Yeah, it was a close match last night. Very, very hotly contested. You did a great job. Very deserving champion.
Yeah, it was a good time. Held by all. Next up, he hails from the great state of Massachusetts. He's the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour. He is the president of Thursday Nights, Mr. Phil DeCesare. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. It is Wrestling Remembered, people. Happy Friday to all you guys and gals.
Yeah, TGIF, TGIF. Amen. And finally, he is the Thursday Night Disciple. The man who wears the stripes on wrestling's hottest game show, Da 30. In high school, he handed out hall passes while he wore those sunglasses. That's right, Bo. Let's welcome ESO. Welcome, ESO. What's happening?
What's going on, guys? And congratulations, champ. What an outstanding performance you put
in. Oh, yeah.
You know,
epic match.
Riveting stuff. Riveting.
It was.
Your bandage is gone, Joe. You're a quick healer, man.
Yes, yeah, I was. I didn't do the job correctly. That's what it was.
You're a good blader.
Yeah, you remember the style of the 1980s, the wrestlers like Flair. It would be the suit, the three-piece suit, and then the athletic tape, right over on the forehead. That was the Triple H copied that in the 90s.
Yeah, if anybody could pull it off, it was Ric Flair. That is for sure. You know, $1 million suits, $1,000 watches, and a friggin' ace bandage across his forehead.
Yep, the athletic tape, yep.
So we're talking like, you know, old meets new meets old, all that stuff. And we'll go around. We got a couple of graphics and so forth. But the first one I thought off the bat was this one. I'll show it first up. Here it is.
Oh, wow.
Versus Dad Sika. You know what I mean? Like, just think of the possibilities. You know, it's crazy to think that you could do this, even in video games. But, I mean, can you just imagine what the angle of this would be? Father versus son, something like that. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? We'll go around the room. Benny, what do you think of that? Sika?
I love it. I mean, who would have thought, right? You've got the athleticism of Roman Reigns, but you have the pure savagery of Alpha.
Yeah, it's like two different entities going at it. Unbelievable. Phil, what do you think of that one?
Well, I say, holy Oedipus Rex, man. Talk about Oedipal complex, huh? Father versus son. What a battle, huh? Yeah. The savage of Sika, barefooted and all, outweighing his son by some 33 pounds, 34 pounds, thereabouts. But equally of equal height and proportion. Sika definitely will have the harder head of the two and definitely the savagery on his side. But could he bring himself to go all the way and take out his son?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question.
Yeah, those are going to be a lot of questions for I personally have a ton of graphics lined up. So you guys are going to love this stuff. And I got your stuff too coming. So, what do you think? Sika. Reigns.
I couldn't imagine any. Then you have Captain Lou in the corner versus
Paul
Heyman on the other side. Come on, that would be classic. I haven't had the chance yet to pick up that new WWE 2K24 game.
Yeah.
But I've seen people doing these like fantasy matches and stuff like that, and you know that would be kind of a cool thing to maybe do if we can create some. Last year I wanted to create some custom characters for Mike and Jimmy, but maybe we should create some custom characters of ourselves so we can do some simulations of us with some of these wrestlers.
Exactly. I would definitely want to do that. I did a lot of stuff, but you know, Benny, you wanted a couple of graphics for this one. So I'm going to throw them up on the screen and you tell us why you picked this one. The first one is MJF versus Roddy Piper.
What a match this would be. I mean, I would pay anything to see this. Yeah. Two of the greatest talkers of all time. You know, Piper, no matter who Piper wrestled, you know, even if it was Andre the Giant, you never thought he was outmatched. When he wrestled Hogan, even though he was maybe 5 or 6 inches smaller, you know, out by maybe 50, 75 pounds, that was never a factor because he was a fighter. Right. And with MJF, he wrestles a lot larger. So, I mean, can you imagine the buildup to this match? That would even be better than the match. Just the pre-match hype, all the promos.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, when you sent that, I remember you talking about that at a couple of podcasts ago. And yeah, that would be an ideal situation. MJF versus Roddy Piper. That'd be one for the ages. That would headline one of the pay-per-views, if not main event. But you had another one here. This one I actually really, really loved. It takes one of the superstars from today, and it takes pretty much one of the oldest superstars in Killer Kowalski going up against Gunther, the current Intercontinental Champion, the current longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. Yeah, talk about this one, Benny. What do you think? What do you think about this?
Well, I mean, and what was Gunther's name before he was Gunther? He was
Walter. Right?
That's right. That's right.
And Walter and Gunther, to me, have so much in common. You know, Walter Kowalski, Killer Kowalski, was even though he doesn't look very muscular, you know, Bruno said numerous times, the guy was a damn machine and he never got tired. You had to be in your best shape, you know, cardio-wise to keep up with the guy. And Gunther, same way. I mean, Gunther is just effortless. He makes everything look real.
Yeah.
I would pay to see that one too.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that one. I really do. And, all right, so we're cruising right along here. The president, you had an interesting twosome here. Bob Backlund and Brock Lesnar. Oh, my.
Wow.
What do you think? I chose the young Backlund. Is that all right?
That's more than all right. That's actually perfect.
That's fresh off his win of superstar Billy Graham on the right. And obviously Brock Lesnar, pretty recent photo of him and so forth.
Sure. Well,
this match, I don't know. You tell me.
I gladly will. And having the good fortune of meeting Backlund on several occasions and Brock too, you get an idea when you're in someone's presence. You know, you can almost feel a vibe from them. You know, and I certainly have some stats to back up my contentions here. It would be obviously a great battle, as both have incredible collegiate backgrounds. Brock, obviously an NCAA Division I champion in the super heavyweight. I mean, he was, I think, 280 pounds at one point. Backlund was both heavyweight and, I think, at 190, NCAA D2 champion for North Dakota State. And actually, I think he wrestled his first year in Iowa, Joe. And I can't think of the town, but I'll have to look it up for you. But he spent a little time in Iowa, too. But it's interesting, too. Both men phenomenally strong. Brock more explosive with power, whereas Backlund very quick. Brock explosive. But if we look at strength, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that a lot of people might not agree with. But actually, not only pound for pound, but in total, Bob Backlund was stronger. And I will base that on a few things, notably the bench press, okay? Brock had an incredible bench press of 475 pounds, okay? Unbelievable by any measure, okay? At a weight of outweighing Backlund legitimately by 40 to 50 pounds.
Right.
Backlund benched over 500 pounds. And while I won't speak to all the supplements that Brock may or may not have had, Backlund was, by all accounts, a natural athlete.
Yeah, sure.
And again, that's only one measure of his strength.
Yeah.
But if we look at some of the old training montages, Backlund just phenomenal, not only with the physical strength into things, but the conditioning factor.
Backlund had raw strength. I know that. I mean, his wrestling repertoire was wearing you down with that strength, longevity. You know, 40, 50 minute matches.
Yep.
And then he would do that. You know, he would put on, I mean, I remember the Morocco match in 83. I think it was a Texas, some match he had in Morocco. And the crowd was kind of, you know, losing interest in a little bit. And he did this arch on lifting up Morocco from his backside. Did the
that short arm scissors lift that he would do was unbelievable.
And the crowd just woke up and was like, holy shit, this guy's strong. And you always
that's dead weight. That's dead weight. Okay.
And Morocco was pushing 300 pounds that time.
Yeah. And, you know, and from a shooting perspective, you know, when Backlund started with Eddie Graham and the business was in a place where the local champion or, you know, a local contender would take on any comer, right? And this huge guy they brought in who had an amateur background, he's like 6'8", like 350 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
And everyone, and a lot of the guys in the Florida territory were sweating this guy there. So they put Backlund out there.
Yeah.
Backlund beat him with a simple headlock. Okay.
Wow. Yeah,
Backlund is a grinder. All right. He doesn't have that explosive Brock Lesnar kind of stuff. But if he gets a hold of you, I think he could power out of or power into just about any hold. So, you know, and again, both are farm boys from Minnesota. Okay. Kind of important as well. All right.
Yeah.
And I've never met a farm boy who wasn't just a phenom physically and a salt of the earth kind of person, too.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Two great guys, two great athletes. Be a hell of a match.
Yeah. That is really, really good. You got thoughts on that one? Backlund versus Brock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have to look at the conditioning back then. What Bob had to deal with versus Brock had the most state-of-the-art equipment in him. Brock had all the performance enhancing drugs in him.
Right.
There's no comparison. Backlund would have crushed him under normal circumstances. And Brock is one hell of an athlete, though.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
did you see his daughter actually won? She set the record for that shot put again or something.
Oh, the daughter did. Shot put record? Yep. She said no. Didn't she break his record or something like that at the beginning? And then she broke some record of Brock's. I don't know if it was shot put, it was something else, but or something equivalent to that. That's when she started getting noticed, and she set the overall record, I think, with the shot put. That's, I mean, obviously you know, the apple didn't fall very far for this one. I mean, she's an impressive athlete to begin with. So
the genetic lottery strikes again.
Oh yeah,
unbelievable.
Coupled with, I'm sure, just incredible nose to the grindstone. You know, work ethic that Brock has too. You know,
couple of quotes here. Maria Davis at Backlund made you wrestle and you got your money's worth. Absolutely. Jason Moaning, Holly Race tried to blow Backlund in a 60-minute Broadway. Backlund was doing jumping jacks at the end. Harley was impressed. Yeah, I don't think Harley had quite the same training regimen as Backlund. Wrestling knowledge, yes, but training regimen, no.
Harley had three Marlboro cigarettes before he went out there, you know. Yeah.
And I just want to mention this, that tonight's beautiful shirt that Benny's wearing was picked up by the lovely Beth Hopper. Beautiful.
Thank you, Playmate.
Wardrobe by Botany 500. Remember that?
Botany 500. Remember the bum athletic sweatshirts?
Oh, I had a bunch of them. I love those. They fit so well. Oh, yeah.
And then Joe Myers, Baby Cake, says Backlund could have had Rocky music play through every match. So, yeah, Backlund could have. It's definitely. And a special shout out to Baby Cakes, $5 donation. Awesome.
Nice.
Hey, all right. Thank you, Joe Myers.
Let's celebrate, shall we? That's awesome. Thank you very much, Baby Cake. She loves doing that. I think she likes it because it's her message noticed, you know?
Much appreciated.
That's really cool. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So, okay. So I came up with a whole bunch of crazy scenarios here, and you guys can probably laugh at this. I'm going to start off. We have so many here. I'll start off. I'll do a Roman Reigns one. This might be up your alley, so I'm shocked you you'd want to do this, but what if we had this match?
What
about that? Reigns versus Hogan. Now I'm talking I'm talking Hogan in his heyday.
No, I mean the crowd would be you'd have a very unique clash of styles.
Sure. Oh yeah.
You know, Roman likes to he likes to have that heavy hand in a match where Hogan has the pump up and the Hulk up and the comebacks and the four moves and a leg drop. It would be it would be interesting. I think the fans would be into it. It's definitely Roman's definitely going down that same path that Hogan went to. I mean, Hogan started that Hollywood path that The Rock ended up following and Stone Cold followed, and now it looks like Roman's going to follow that same path down there. So very, very similar. I don't know if Roman would have gotten over as well as Hogan did back when Hogan was wrestling, whereas I think Hogan transcends generations. You know, I think Rocky could have gotten over. You know, The Rock could have gotten over in any generation, too.
Do you think this match would have been long, though? You think it would have been long? Because Hogan didn't wrestle long matches. I mean, he did on occasion, but not like Reigns. Reigns is out there 20, 25 minutes during the big matches and stuff. So
yeah, only
I think you would have more time. More time would be dedicated to entrances and flexing than the actual match.
You're probably right. Phil, go ahead, chime in. What do you got on this one?
I was just saying Hogan would kind of let his hair down in Japan a little bit and push himself and be pushed a little more, and actually was capable of putting on more traditional matches, I think, over there too. Of course, he had a lot of great opponents to work with over there, and he really had to rise to the occasion. So I think Hogan had it in him. But as we discussed, as you guys discussed on the last episode, how, again, Joe, you were mentioning how Hogan and who was he running the loop with? Orndorff. They would wrestle in three different cities in one day. So that could kind of limit your in-ring style, you know. So schedule was a big factor, I think, in style too.
I think it was overall appearance by both guys, too, Orndorff and Hogan, that the fans really wanted to see. Never mind putting on a 20-minute show.
Yeah.
Tonight, you know, so it's fans. Player, what do you think about this one? Reigns versus Hogan.
I think it's a good match. I think it's like a maybe 12, 13-minute match. You know that Roman's going to kick out of the leg drop. Hulk's going to kick out of the spear. You know, they probably have a count out or a DQ or something like that, so that they can do it again. It would be a very good, entertaining match for sure.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of outside interference. I think the bloodline would be involved. That's what I forgot to talk about. The Rock versus Seeker, real quickly. There's a bloodline match right here. The absolute bloodline match right here. You know, you got you know what I mean. So would you have outside interference? Who would be interfering on whose behalf? That type of thing. So you got
Captain Lou and Paul Heyman.
You got all these scenarios that could take place. It's kind of neat doing this stuff. So
and AFA too.
And AFA.
Right. Well,
I'm gonna take it back to the Samoan days, and just like Rock versus Sika. What about this one? How about that? The Usos, undisputed tag team champions, going up against multi-tag team champs, the Wild Samoans, Offer and Sika. Look at that one. I think this would be a match. Probably, I think Jimmy and Jay would have to carry them after a while because the savagery of both Offer and Sika was more limited to, you know, in the corner type stuff, that thing. So let's go around the room real quickly. Yeah, we'll start with Phil. What do you think of that one?
Well, you know, both teams love to use kicks and sidekicks, and I could really see where the Samoans would be far more versatile and powerful kickers, being barefoot, having that mass too. And again, they're both deceptive. They have deceptive agility and explosiveness. So, you know, and they can catch you anywhere with that Samoan drop. And I do think that added weight can really be an advantage. I mean, they outweigh each of the Usos by some 70 pounds or so, and that's pretty substantial, you know. And I think age and treachery would overcome the youth in this case.
It's funny, and I saw the match in 79. What was that, Tito Santana and Ivan Putski?
Yeah.
They were so much quicker than when I saw them in 82, 83, because they had that little absence there for a while, and they came back in 81, and they seemed like they had gotten a little heavier, more stronger, but not as quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, ESO, what do you think about that match? Jimmy and Jey Uso up against their, what? I'm assuming their uncles or... Yeah, they're uncles, right? Are they all uncles? Are they their uncles? I think they are, right?
Somehow. But yeah, I would say, let's see, you have probably each Uso is probably 220, 225, and each Wild Samoan is what, 315 to 330, 340?
They had a huge combined weight. There's no doubt about it. Yep.
They also, you know, from what I saw, again, I saw them later in their career, they still seem to move pretty well.
Right.
They like to break the rules a little bit more. Not that the Usos don't break the rules, but they would break the rules in different ways. The Usos break the rules with interference. The the Samoans would break it with, say, a foreign object or a bone pulled out or something like that.
Or they just gross them out, Bruce, by eating the head of a raw fish. Could you see the Usos doing that?
Yeah, the head of a raw fish. Just really freak
make them puke.
They had to eat something, so they had to eat something that was safe for everybody, so they had some fish on hand.
They'd eat stuff that would make a billy goat sick.
The way I'm looking at all these things is, would the Samoans get over now, and would the Usos get over then?
Back in
those days, the Usos would not have gotten over in the 80s. They were a little bit too small for the time. Yeah. But the Samoans, I think right now, that, you know, I still think that team would work.
Yeah. What is that team? Shear? I forget the team.
Indo-Shear.
Indo-Shear, and you know, they remind me of a bulked up Samoans type Matt.
The AOP.
AOP. Betty, what do you think? Your turn. Go ahead. Wild Samoans.
Like Phil said, you got the youth and you got the athleticism of the Usos versus the sheer brutality of the Samoans. I'm going with the Samoans in like an 8-minute match. Now, obviously, the longer it goes, they're going to start getting gassed. So but another great match. And of course, you're going to have probably outside interference. Lou Albano's going to, you know, slip him a meatball sub and they're going to slip on it. Yeah, something like that.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. You always wonder if, the Wild Samoans would bring in some foreign objects. I'm trying to think of what some of the stuff you'd mentioned, the fish thing.
Maybe a coconut. A
coconut, something like that. You know, they would have to have some assistance in this match. There's no doubt about it. Because Jimmy and Jey Uso, they always survive.
Johnny Fabo's barbecue sauce.
Johnny Fabulous is John Cena.
Those barbecued ribs.
There you go.
Raw fish. It goes great on raw fish heads. It really does.
Yeah, there you go.
So moving on. This one's kind of cool. This will help you out. This is kind of current storyline, so to speak. The Rock versus Dusty Rhodes. You talk about a match that, personally, if I went to see this, I'd be like, what the hell is going on here? Because you get Dusty Rhodes in his heyday versus The Rock. Anything's possible. You know, both great talkers on the mic. I think the interviews would be the pre-match hype interviews would be just unbelievable. And
it would be a battle
versus the bionic elbow.
That's exactly Bruce. You're right on, brother. Right on.
Say that again, Bruce. That's a good soundbite. What is it?
Excellent.
People's elbow versus the bionic elbow.
There you go.
You know it, baby.
I wasn't even thinking of that when I put this on. The Rock's good talking call. About Dusty and all his promos. And I'm like, shit, what if he just came down from heaven and decided to wrestle a match with this guy? You know, I would think it'd be incredible. Benny, what do you think of that?
You know, same thing, like the pre-match hype, all the promos, you know, they're going to build to a crescendo. And, you know, Dusty, now, of course, he never met a gym that he liked. I think he was allergic to the element FE, which that's like the periodic table for iron. But you know what? I mean, his matches with Billy Graham at the Garden, good matches. I mean, they had the crowd going. So, I mean, I think it would be a very entertaining match.
Yeah.
And let us not forget that Dusty packed a muffler, if any of you know what I mean by that. And, of course, that would be wonderful to combat diarrhea, Dwayne. The muffler, if for the uninformed, I'm sure people in the chat, I wonder if anyone in the chat can pick up on that. It was a Dusty specialty where he would take gauze tape, wrap it around his hand, form it into like a wedge of sorts, and then kind of insert it in the back of the tights to kind of absorb sweat and other such things during the course of a match. But we're getting a little gross, but I could see Dusty being a little resourceful and perhaps using that as an offensive weapon. I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Combine that with the elbow, take out the Rock, perhaps.
Unbelievable. What do you think, ESO?
I just don't. I don't want anything to do with that muffler.
He calls it the muffler drop.
So here's a good one. Now there's a current top star versus probably the star, and we got Cody Rhodes battling Bruno Sammartino. Bruno in his prime versus Rhodes. Cody, I would assume this is his prime now. I would say this is probably a major draw and a very, very good wrestling match. A question again is how long would they go for? Would it be a 10-minute match, 20-minute? Could they go 60 minutes? Could Bruno last 60 minutes?
Certainly.
You know what I mean? So let's what do you think? Leia, what do you think about this one?
Boy. The first comment is Bruno wrestled 90-minute matches against Gorilla Monsoon. There was no question about Bruno's stamina. So that, I mean, I could easily see a 60-minute Broadway. I mean, now if it was a shoot fight, you know, Bruno would win probably in about 11 seconds, I think, with a backbreaker or a bear hug. But, you know, and it's really funny because when we talked about this episode, I can't see Bruno translating into 2024. Hard as I tried, because you know the whole story about being in Italy and being living in the mountains while the Nazis were occupying their home and having a rheumatic fever and you know the mom using the leeches and all that stuff. I mean, it doesn't translate. It translated in the 60s. It doesn't translate now. And I mean, you know, the whole you know being in New York, Bruno was in the right place at the right time. It was you know serendipity. The moons aligned together in Bruno in 1963 in New York with that large Italian population. It was pure gold. They printed money, but that no longer exists. So, I mean, I don't know if Bruno would be even on a character on TV in 2024.
You mentioned the Italy having to go up and down the mountains, the leeches and all that stuff. I think with today's production teams, they could sell this. They could sell it. They could put actual footage, recreate actual footage. Unlike the 60s, they really couldn't do that.
Right.
But you could, you know, you'd show the mountains in Italy. You'd show like the war. You'd show, you know, all that stuff that's happening. You could probably get someone sucked in like that. What do you think, Phil? You think they could do that?
Yeah, I think they could, and I think that Bruno could probably demand a stipulation pre-match and say that if he wins, then Cody has to remove that neck tattoo. Because I'd love to see Bruno's face if he looked and saw, you know, in this day and age, a neck tattoo.
What the hell is that on your neck? Get that off your neck, you. Jesus Christmas.
Bruno would probably make him, like, tape it up before stepping in the ring with him. But now,
would Cody be a heel or would Cody be a babyface?
I don't know. This has shades of Bruno and Pedro on it. You know, they're both.
Well, yeah. Well, that was a 75-minute draw. So
yeah, it was.
He wrestled long matches.
Yeah.
Well, Bruno would have a very, very short entrance. He doesn't have an entrance theme or anything. He just came right out.
He didn't wear a robe.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they would market an entrance for Bruno. Just he'd come down like he always did. He'd run down, you know, probably clap some hands on the way and all that stuff. And he's in the ring and that's it, waiting for his opponent. I think, you know,
go to the corner, do the sign of the cross and get ready.
Do that, and he'd probably do like push-ups and sit-ups or a lot of lumbar type exercises while Cody did his entrance. Because Bruno would not be interested in that. He'd just want to wrestle. You know what I mean? Kind of shades of Hook. I don't know if you guys seen Hook wrestle in the AEW. He sits in the corner with his head on the top turnbuckle and waits for the entrance and all that stuff to be over with for his opponent. So it's kind of a neat thing, you know?
He's
kind of got that mentality where I don't give a shit about your entrance. I'm here to wrestle.
So he hides under his hair like Raven used to.
He hides in the turnbuckle, like, you know, I'm waiting. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, so what do you think? Bruno versus Rhodes.
All right. First of all, it would have to be a Broadway match. Listen, you take the time. At the time, Cody, the time of Bruno, Cody would have had to have been a heel. Anybody with tattoos was kind of, you know, looked upon as like kind of taboo back then. So Cody would definitely be the heel. I definitely think Cody could have gotten over back in those days. It would have been a tremendous, tremendous match there. No, I think Bruno, like everybody's saying, I don't think Bruno would transition as well over to today's WWE. I'd wonder what type of gimmick they'd have to give him, because it would have to be a gimmick. He'd have to be some type of Italian, you know, maybe,
Definitely. Heritage would be involved. There's no doubt about it. Some type
Absolutely. You know, whether it be like a mafia type thing or, you know, who knows which way they would go with it, but it would definitely be, I would definitely say Bruno would struggle in this day and age, whereas Cody, I think, could have made it back in the 70s. Yeah, he would have had that, maybe that combination with a tattoo, but at the same time, he's got that overwhelming, almost like a Gorgeous George personality, that overwhelming personality there.
Cody would have been a good NWA territory wrestler, I believe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He would have been even making the rounds. He'd be that influential, condescending journeyman, as they said. He would he'd be everywhere. So, all right, so we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back from this break, we're going to go, we're going to hit the female side of things. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back, everybody.
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB.
You need a body shop? You need engine repair? Auto Excellence, Collision Specialists, 631-261-6420. That's 631-261-6420. Auto Excellence. Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No, I mean I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
Elm Logistics, for all your logistic needs, call 631-299-3595. That's 631-299-3595. Elm Global Logistics, pride, performance, and partnerships.
All right, everybody, we are back. Welcome back to Wrestling Remembered, the show that takes you back to the good old days. And if you guys are just joining us, we're talking about old versus new, yesterday stars taking on today's stars, and we've had some good ones so far. And I, as promised before the break, I said we'd hit up some of the women's side of things. So I'm going to hit you with the first one here. Let me just pull it up. And this one seems like it could go somewhere. We have Lunder Blaze taking on the man, Becky Lynch. Two women who I think would probably be evenly matched. that could probably put a hell of a show on. They're both great on the mic. They're both former world champions and so forth. So I'm going to hit the room here first. ESO, what do you think of that matchup?
Listen, Medusa Michelli, Alundra Blaze, was probably one of my favorite female wrestlers when I was a kid. She was one of the first women that could really put on a show, her and Sherry Martel back in the AWA days. Yeah. Becky Lynch puts on a great program nowadays. She may not be my favorite wrestler, but overall, I mean, that woman can wrestle. This would be one hell of a show.
Yeah, that'd be a great match. And Phil, yeah. What do you think, Phil?
Hey, man, any chick who can drive a monster truck has got to be badass, okay? And I think Medusa resembles that remark. I don't know if I could see the old Bexter getting up into the truck. Maybe she could. I don't know. And I seem to remember back in the day.
She's the man. She's got to get up in that truck.
Yeah. She wears a pants. She definitely wears that pants. She does.
Yes. And yeah. He wears her clothes. It's a wonderful relationship. But Miss Michelli, quite a strong gal. I've seen, again, the training sequences for her, too, squatting and everything else. And, yeah, she was the first to be really in one of the really conditioned wrestlers, female wrestlers. Yeah, so, international experience, certainly experience in the territories. Yeah. I think she would bring a lot to the game. I don't think she'd be a pushover for Becky. In fact, I think it would be a great contest.
Yeah, I used to be in contact with Medusa, and she would tell me, the worst thing she hated about being champion was though, because the WWF was turning at that time into that sexualized all the women type thing, and she'd have to do the cheeky bikini shots and all that stuff, and she hated it. She was like, I'm not built for this. I'm built for wrestling and working out and all that. I'm not a model.
She has that tough side to her. And lest we not forget on that very infamous Monday Nitro where she took the ladies' title and dropped it right into the circular file. I mean, that takes some cojones of steel to do, I think. Talk about burning bridges,
Definitely. So. Playa, what do you got? What do you got on this one, Playa?
That is a great, great matchup. I mean, when I saw that, it's like, holy crap, that's a perfect matchup. Debbie Michelli was so talented. So, I mean, legitimately a tough woman, matches up with Becky very well on an athletic basis. That's a great match.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it'd be a long match. I think they would probably go at it for about 30 minutes or so. They'd put on a great show. I think both of them with their wrestling knowledge, and Becky, gets overshadowed. She's got some knowledge in the ring.
For sure.
You wouldn't have known it this past Monday with the last woman standing match, because I think 90% of that whole match took place outside the ring with some of the stuff they were doing, which is insane. And just to real quickly cap on that, it's funny how the girls put on that match Monday night. And then we had, I don't know if anybody saw, AEW Rampage aired right after Dynamite because of the NCAA basketball being on Friday. They had Sky Blue and Chris Statlander take on Julia Hart and who's the other girl? I forget the other girl's name, but they had a street fight, and it ended with nails in the ring. They did some crazy ass moves, table bumps. Sky Blue is actually bleeding.
No way.
That's the picture behind me right here.
I got to watch this then.
That's why I put that picture up the other day. Nobody recognized that's Sky Blue.
From where was she bleeding? From
the top of her head. She got cut open in the table spot early in the match.
Oh, hard way, I bet.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. It's a really, really good match. Willow Nightingale was Julia Hart. She got on top of the announcer's table. Willow Nightingale was going to put her through the table. She reversed it, Sky Blue, and she did the sunset flip move there. What do they call that when you flip the girl over and
Canadian destroyer or something
Canadian
on the table?
Canadian destroyer on the table. Yeah. It broke the table in two. I mean, it didn't break the table. Excuse me. So I don't know if it was supposed to break the table, but that was her reaction after it. She was hurt doing the move. Willow was hurt doing the move. They were checking on them. And then they ended up going back in the ring. Sky Blue was on top of the ring. And Willow Nightingale grabbed her, put her over like a Samoan drop, and they just went right into the two tables that were obviously set up before. And they put on a hell of a
That sounds incredible.
They had the thumbtacks in the ring. Chris Statlander took that one. They did a really good street fight for women. So I just thought it was funny that Tony Khan, had a street fight match right after Raw's, match. So it was kind of like they were trying to feed off each other. But
they were going tit for tat, no pun intended. Tat,
yeah, and it was a good match. That's why I printed that picture out. Two pictures. I don't know if you can see them right here. That's her screaming after what the move she did. And that's her bleeding on top of the table. So it was a neat match.
They should all be commended.
I put a post up on Facebook, which was kind of neat. Almost to the day, March 17th, 2021, was Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, the bloodbath for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one was what? March 20th. So, 2 years later, 2024. To the day, they have a match where the girl bleeds, and I put up on my post Tony Khan's tweet from January saying 2024 is going to be the new 2021 for AEW. So he's trying to bring back some of the good stuff he had back in 2021, and that's what he kicked it off with. And I'm like, okay, I see what he's trying to do now. So, maybe he sees that the fans are getting frustrated, with all that. Plus, Mercedes Moné got tons of camera time, too much camera time, too much mic time. You could tell that, $4 million a year, we're going to see a lot of Mercedes Moné on AEW television. Bruce, would you agree with that? Everyone thinks you're sleeping in the chat, man.
Hey, do I think we're going to see a lot of Mercedes Moné? I think we're going to have her shoved down our throats because of the amount of money she's been given.
She's going to get a Canadian destroyer on the table for that kind of money.
Yeah, I can't wait for her to get hurt. That's going to be the big deal. What happens then?
Maybe I am sleeping. That the sunglasses help.
Yeah. Monty's in the chat. He says that was fake blood. Fake or not, it was kind of cool. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's referring to Britt Baker or his girlfriend there, Sky Blue.
She's mine, Mike. She's mine.
And she looks like she's 10 years old in the pictures I saw with him and Monty. Like, oh, God. Unbelievable. All right, so we got moving on with the women's section here. This one, no doubt, would be a WrestleMania main event. It would probably headline both nights if they could do it. I had to put this in there. Everybody talks about it. Chyna versus Rhea Ripley.
Wow.
Damn. Chyna as Intercontinental Champion, Rhea Ripley as champion. I think this would be a match for the ages based on the fact that they're built the same. They wrestle the same. I think this would be just an amazing match. This was a no-brainer when I was preparing these segments. And, we'll go around the room. Phil, what do you think? We'll kick it off with you. Chyna versus Rhea.
All right. I'll confess initially to being a little biased. First, I did refer to Chyna's biography and how she really buried Walter Kowalski, who was just a wonderful man. So, and then I actually met Chyna, of course, many moons ago. And I've met so many of these people, had wonderful experiences. Not so with her, not so with her. So, and in fact, I think that even translated on camera in terms of promos. While she might have looked impressive in the ring, I don't think her promos were anything hot. Whereas I think Rhea really is really entrancing on screen with her. And again, that accent's incredible too. Oh, yeah. But from the physical end, I think, I think she's evolved. I mean, Chyna was a trailblazer in many ways, but I think Rhea Ripley is another level beyond now in terms of what we see ring.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning towards Rhea.
Yeah. ESO, absolutely. What do you got? Chyna, Rhea. What's the betting odds? What do you got?
I've got Rhea on this. Chyna wanted to become more and more of a diva, where Rhea's embracing that kind of dark look. She has really transformed herself into. She still looks amazing, but at the same time, she's very intimidating. I don't think Chyna would have stood a chance. Chyna interview wise, you got Rhea. Just overall look wise, I think, and I'm not talking physical attraction wise, but I think Rhea's got that more domineering, scary look to her. I wouldn't want to run into Rhea. She looks like my ass.
You like that ESO, don't you? You like that look, don't you?
Not usually my style for dating, but that girl could. She's definitely got a good gimmick there.
What do you think, Playa? What do you think, Chyna, Rhea?
Yeah, I'm going with Rhea all the way. I think Rhea is far superior in terms of, you know, ring ability, promo ability. I mean, China is kind of a freak of nature, but yeah, and I heard a lot of the things that, that Phil was referring to about, you know, how she talked badly about Killer Kowalski, Walter. And by all accounts, I mean, I've heard so many people speak the world of that man. In fact, she's probably the only person that I've ever heard speak of that man in a negative light. I mean, not only a legend in the ring, but just a
sweet guy,
a great guy, and really, you know, devoted to professional wrestling. So
as a teacher, he was pretty strict. He was an old school guy, so that could have rubbed her the wrong way as well.
Well, you know, one our fellow podcaster, Brittany Brown, trained under Walter Kowalski, the Boston Bad Girl.
Yeah,
again, you know, thought the world of the man.
Yeah.
So no, I'm going with Rhea. Rhea is a mega star. I think we have not seen her peak yet.
I think Rhea, after her outfit at Elimination Chamber. I think the world will be watching what these two women wear into the ring, because China was no stranger for showing off her body, as we know, appearing in Playboy and all that stuff.
I have that issue.
But her in-ring attire towards the end of her career was very, very risque. And that's probably what she had to sell, because, you know, she was built pretty good. She had an amazing figure. She was a beast. And at that era, the Attitude Era and everything, she fit right in. Scantily clad, wrestling men, Jeff Jarrett winning the Intercontinental title. And then Rhea Ripley and her crazy outfits are just more updated. But what she wore for Elimination Chamber basically was talked about more than the match that she had. Because some of the camera shots, they had to edit on Peacock. because as the match wore on, you know, things got sweatier and tidier and all that stuff. So that's one thing that I was thinking of, like, what would they wear to the ring? That might be huge. So, all right, moving on. Here we go. Another women's one. I'll just throw this wire up here. It's WrestleMania season, so why not? Wendi Richter, Charlotte Flair. Two, obviously, world champions. I think their bodies match up the same. I'm looking at strength. I'm looking at the Flair and Wendi Richter. When she won the title, she was all 80s'd out. She was Cyndi Lauper, his sidekick and all that stuff. So I'll go around the room. Phil, I'll start with you. What do you think? Charlotte Flair and Wendi Richter.
You know, as nostalgic as I am for Wendi Richter, and as she really was one of the first glamorous, back then we called them lady wrestlers before we called them divas or WWE superstars. You know, and her gravitas, of course, came from her situation with the Rock and Wrestling Connection. So that does carry still a lot of heft, too. But, you know, you cannot discount Charlotte's athleticism is just unbelievable. I mean, innovator of a great new submission that came from Charlotte, that figure eight. Yeah. Incredible. Someone so tall with quite the gymnastics background. That's impressive in its own right, too. And just again, the genetics that we're talking about here, the stuff that she has at that cellular level, you know, from her father is just unbelievable. So I'd give the tip of the cap to Charlotte. I think it would be a pretty good contest. Both are in great condition, but we'd have to give it to Charlotte, the queen.
So what do you think? Charlotte Flair, Wendi Richter, 1985 Wendi Richter, WrestleMania. You know what I mean? What do you think? Yeah.
I still have to go with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is now the most accomplished. Okay. Charlotte Flair is the most accomplished woman wrestler that we have today. I mean, how many titles does she have? 17 now?
Yep.
But, you know, she's Wendi Richter, I look at her career, in my opinion, it was so short. From the time I started watching wrestling till she was gone was less than 2 years.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the thing about Wendi Richter, though, she was in shape. She was a fitness guru. And they showed that off in those WrestleMania promos, her running on the treadmill, lifting weights. You know, that was unheard of back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think of that one?
Well, I mean, again, you got the nostalgia factor with, you know, Wendi Richter winning the title from Moolah. Yeah. But, I mean, Charlotte Flair, holy crap. You know, I think she may be the greatest of all time. Good match. but Charlotte takes that one.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, you have to look at it. Look at it this way, because what was it? Less than a year after WrestleMania, how old was Moolah? She had to be in her 50s. Wrestled her and pinned her down and took the title from her.
Yeah. Well, that was logistics backstage and all that stuff.
But, Spider Lady.
But if you look at that match, she really wrapped. You know, Moolah controlled her through that.
Yeah. I love how you mentioned Moolah, because here's my next one. This is a tag match. Trish and Lita versus Fabulous Moolah. And can anybody guess who her partner is?
Mae Young.
There you go. Mae Young. Look at her. Young. She's a stunner. What are you kidding me? Look at that. She's absolutely breathtaking. And for a lady that age, I mean, you think of Mae Young as an old woman, and then you see her in her heyday here. She had good looks, and she could wrestle. So there you go. Moolah and Mae Young taking on Trish and Lita. Player, hit us with that. Who do you think is going to get that one?
Nobody wins that one. That's a toss-up. I mean, you got Moolah and Mae Young, two of the best ever. You know, tough as nails. I mean, and man, look at Mae Young. She's breathtaking. I mean, that picture was taken. I think it was taken during the Prohibition days, when the late 20s. But you know, way before she gave birth to the hand.
Imagine
but
that.
Yeah, no, I mean that's a toss up. That's but that's another great match.
Yeah, I was actually stunned by that photo. I was like, wow. I mean, that was when she was in her prime. Mr. President, what do you think? What do you got in this one?
Well, you know, if Rodney Dangerfield were here looking at her, he'd say, "You must have been something before electricity." Wow.
look at Mae Young. Mae Young looks like I hate to say it. She looks like a man. She looks like somebody in drag back then. Yeah. I mean, and even then she had the title. I mean, that must have been a hell of a title back then to have it with her picture on it and so forth. You know what I mean?
But absolutely. You know, and here's what we can consider, the time frame through which these ladies lived. And, you know, anyone who's come up through the Depression or World War II and that era really, you know, tends to be a stronger character, a product of their place and time. And I think those two, Moolah and Mae, certainly have that toughness that I think transcends any era and any style. Yeah. So I would give it to them. Definitely.
Yeah. Jason moaning in the chat says Moolah and Mae, they weren't cover girls. They were ball busters.
Exactly.
B40 got Mae Young got 3D'd by the Dudleys at the age of 80. I remember that.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. Through the table. Yeah. They took a Bubba bomb through the table.
Loose Cannon's in there, and he's talking about Mae Young could take the whole other three. So
maybe,
You know. So what do you got, ESO? Real, what do you got for these girls?
When you put this graphic up, I did a paper on Mae Young when I was back in college. So
I recognized
the picture right away. That woman was the toughest wrestler out there, tougher than Moolah. The stuff that woman went through. Now you put her with Moolah. I don't think that they're going to lose to anybody even today. So I hate to say it, because Trish Stratus is probably my favorite wrestler of all time. And man, Lita with the whale tail. I mean, I don't ever want to root against them, but man, I think that I have to here.
I kind of did that one for you, Bruce, because I knew that's your era, Trish and Lita. So I was
I got to go with how could I go against Moolah and Mae Young on that? I mean, those women are tough as hell. What 80-year-old women? Do you think Trish Stratus and Lita are going to be in the ring at 80?
No. And I think that's all based on what we're eating nowadays and the food that's processed and everything now. So it's a different generation. So I don't see them living to 80. I mean, they may, but they're not going to be wrestling. They're not going to be taking table bumps like Mae Young did and all that stuff. So,
I vaguely remember meeting Moolah, and what I remember of her was the smell of cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
Moolah?
Oh, yeah. She seems she seems like that aunt that would come over every Thanksgiving and just smell up the place. Like when she came in the room, everybody would leave.
What, the Pall Malls?
Yeah, Pall Malls.
Unfiltered. You know that mall store Hot Topic? Do you guys have that anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if that were around in the time of Moolah and May, they'd look pretty fetching themselves if they could get old some. As Bruce would say, the whale tail and the fishnets. Couldn't you see that?
Here's my last women's matchup. I kind of took this modern day star and what her character is now. I got Toni Storm going up against Mildred Burke. This one was a no-brainer. Mildred Burke looks like she could take care of some business back in the day. And she did. And you got timeless Toni Storm trying to go back to that era. Not necessarily as a wrestler, but as a movie star and so forth. But I kind of combined the two. And I figured Toni Storm's a pretty decent wrestler. She kicked ass in the UK and all that before she got over here and got all, modernized, so to speak, and all that stuff. But real quickly, we'll go around the room. ESO, what do you think of these two?
I actually, Toni Storm is one of the highlights of AEW, but yeah. I got to go with Mildred Burke.
There you go. Player, who do you got in this one?
Mildred Burke, all the way.
Mildred Burke. What do you got there, Phil?
Well, I actually think that Toni Storm could time travel the way she is right now and probably go back in time. But I think she'd come back pretty quickly after meeting Mildred Burke. So yeah. I'm going with Mildred Burke. All the legendary accounts of her are, they're there for a reason, Yep. Amazing. Test of time right there.
I'm still taking timeless Toni Storm just because I love the character and I love what she's doing. And I hope Tony Khan.
Oh, I do too.
Hope he doesn't screw it up. So we got Battle of the Boardrooms here, a match that probably should have been made back in the day, but I combined a little twist in it. We have the current Vince McMahon taking on 1987's Ted Turner with Mr. President Donald Trump as the guest referee.
Love it.
Look at that. What do you guys think? Who do you got? Just tell me all right now.
Vinnie Mac.
What do you got?
You got Vinnie Mac there.
Vinnie Mac?
I've never seen Ted in a weight room. And I've seen Vince take some crazy blows.
This would be an illustrious boardroom match, though. You know what I mean? So you never know. Phil, who do you got?
Well, I know that President Trump is pretty faithful and true to his friends. And I know that he and Vinnie Mac are really tight. And, well, aside from the fact that the president did clothesline Vince outside the ring in quite a stellar move a few years ago. I think perhaps Ted's marriage to Jane Fonda might have weakened him up a little bit. So we're going with Vinnie Mac.
There you go. Player, who do you got in this one?
Well, I mean, the current Vince McMahon looks like Wayne Newton on crack. I mean, the guy was on the cover. I think, Phil, was it Muscle and Fitness or Flex?
It was Muscle and Fitness, I believe.
Yeah. All right. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, the guy has been devoted to weight training for years. Vince McMahon in a squash match.
Yeah, I agree. So moving on here, we got Battle of the Bodybuilders. I would say Bobby Lashley versus Mr. USA, Tony Atlas. And I can see the difference in the weightlifting between obviously Bobby Lashley and Tony Atlas. Tony Atlas to me looks bulkier, more muscular. Lashley looks very toned. Phil, you're a weightlifting expert. Who do you got in this one?
I appreciate Lashley's amateur wrestling background, his army credentials, and everything else is MMA stuff. Tony Atlas came up at a different time and actually was quite a good amateur wrestler, not to mention bodybuilder. And beyond being built for a show, Tony is built to go, okay?
Yeah.
One of the two people that Ric Flair said that at any point could walk over to a bench cold and rep out 500 pounds. And to this day, Tony looks really good. Yeah. And I'm not sure how well Bobby's going to fare in years to come. Lashley's a very good guy, too, and that does count for a lot, and a great athlete. So I see it being a nip-and-tuck battle, and I don't see any resolution necessarily, Tony, again, for his time, way ahead and exceeded the field of competitors. So maybe the nod to Tony.
ESO, who do you got in this one? Atlas, Lashley.
I gotta disagree. Bobby Lashley's got the MMA background going for him. The only thing that Tony might have going for him is the lack of brain cells up top, so he might not realize that he's hurt.
Whoa! And
he can't keep on going.
He's there.
So,
Bobby Lashley, all the way. Bobby Lashley is one hell of an athlete. Realize that guy's already, is he 46, 47 years old?
Yeah, he's up there, yeah.
And I mean, he's a monster. He is. Yeah. He's a little bit bigger than Tony. I think it's going to be a close one, honestly, but I got to go with Bobby Lashley.
Nice. Player, who do you got in this one?
I'm going to go with, they wrestled the time limit. And wow. That, remember back in the day, every once in a while, and there was no rhyme or reason to it, most times time limits would be a draw. But every once in a while, the referee would actually give a decision. And, of course, it always went to the baby face.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give Lashley by referee's decision. Very close match, though.
Wow. Nice, nice. Hey, here's a good one that would be interesting. Rey Mysterio versus Mil Máscaras. Playa, Mil Máscaras, your generation, what do you think?
He's got to win. He doesn't sell. I mean, but what a match it would be, though.
Yeah. Phil, who do you got?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just typing in the chat. It's Mil Máscaras versus who?
Rey Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. I echo Benny's sentiments. Not only would Mil not sell, but he always forgot English when it came to the him losing, you know? And it would we say, no job, you would say. Yeah. No jobbing. Yeah.
ESO, what do you think? What do you think, Bruce? Well,
I mean, I got to agree with the other two because there was not a card that Mil Máscaras was on that Mil Máscaras did the job.
Wow.
Okay. Anna, do we ever really see him lose if we think about it, right?
Wow.
How
in America. He was coming to the territory. He was not putting his shoulders down.
Wow.
Not for anybody.
I think he lost there were a couple of Graham, I think, by countdown.
Yeah, I was going to say there were countdowns.
Now, here's a match I think that would take over the scientific realm of things. Bob Backlund versus Chad Gable. I think this would be a great match wrestling-wise. They would put on a hell of a show, Suplex City, Backlund stamina, all that stuff. Chad Gable has shown us that he can go a few rounds. Player, what do you think of that one?
Yeah, absolutely a great match, but Backlund all the way.
Backlund all the way. Phil, who you got in this one?
You know, even though I put Backlund over Brock earlier, here's the thing, you know, again, growing up on the farm, Backlund had a hard life. His father was an alcoholic. In fact, his back is strangely fortified, stronger than most, because he was often left in his crib on his back for a while. So part of his spine actually has a condition where it kind of fused. You notice how upright Bob always was in that thoracic area? That's actually because as a kid, I don't want to say he was neglected, but he was often left in his crib for a long time. Right. Anyway, and that's the last time his shoulders have been down for any significant time. He's made up for it since then. And again, given that hard scrabble kind of farm life, that tough deal, Backlund's got a grittiness, an incredible toughness, a tenacity. Right. I'm going with Backlund.
Yep, excellent. ESO, who do you got in that one?
I don't think we've seen the best of what Chad Gable's going to bring to us yet. So I think that over time this might change, but right now you obviously have to give it to Backlund. But Chad Gable, he's got a great charisma. He's got a great look to him. I mean, the sky's the limit for that guy when he starts to break through.
Yeah, Joe Will said it really needs to be Bob Backlund versus Kurt Angle. I agree with that one.
That would be really good.
Oh, man.
Be
a real good match. The funny part with Chad Gable is I think I see that storyline developing where he's going to help Sami Zayn win the title, unfortunately, over Gunther. And then he's going to take the title because that'll be his promise to Zayn that I'll give you a title shot if you can help me beat. I could see kind of that storyline going. I hope that's not the storyline. I'm not saying that it is. Yeah. But my feeling is that Chad's going to help Sami Zayn maybe do like an almost win and all that stuff. And then I don't know. But I still somehow, in the realm of things, in the next few months, see Chad Gable as the next Intercontinental title. I think he deserves it. And I think he'd be a great representative of that title.
I think once he turns face, he's going to be big. You know, that shoosh huge. That he did was getting over as a heel. So
it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. We got this one. How about this? I thought of this one late in the day. Okada versus Inoki. There's one. Benny, who do you think would win that one?
Inoki's kind of like a Japanese version of Máscaras, though, isn't he? He didn't want to lose to anybody. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, Okada, you know, great wrestler. A draw. I'm going to pick a draw.
I think it'd be an ego, big ego match. That's what I think. Phil, who do you got in this one?
You know, Inoki does have a lot of, you know, he started training with jiu-jitsu back in the day, Brazilian jiu-jitsu and everything. before. I'm not sure about Okada's legitimate martial arts background. So Inoki has that. Plus, he probably had to answer to the Yakuza back in the day. And I agree. Inoki was not one to put his shoulders down for just anybody. So I would go with Inoki as well. He's a legend.
Yeah. So who do you got in this one?
Oh, it has to be. I got to agree with the panel. It's Inoki. If anything, you'd have Okada go in, get a cheap win in the beginning on his tour in, and then lose on his way out. So
yeah, you know, I agree.
Sometimes how those Japanese tours worked.
Yep, I agree with that one too. It looks like Inoki would kill him. They had the chat pretty much all rounding, all Inoki on that one. Yep, Maria Inoki, we got you. Loose Ken, Jason, everybody, good stuff. All right, my last one, Battle of the Giants, Andre versus Omos. Now they're billing Omos is like almost as tall as Andre, but definitely not the weight. Obviously, Omos is a freak of nature at that size. What do you think? This could have the potential to be a very serious matchup because Andre may not look like Omos muscular-wise, but he's noted for his strength. He had really inner strength. Like, he was a strong guy. Phil, why don't you take us with this one? What do you think? Andre versus Omos.
Well, you know, favorites aside, I still would go with Andre. Andre had tremendous natural strength, as you say. Incredible pulling power, too. Right. And, you know, Ken Patera, who knows a thing or two about strength, okay, felt that if Andre, with some training and some enhancements, would have shattered all records, particularly in the deadlift. And he just had amazing natural strength. And, you know, that toughness, too. And, again, his was glandular, whereas Omos was a combination of glandular and maybe more.
Right.
I'll harken back. Andre was a farm kid in France, too. Sure. This is kind of weird. We have all these people raised on farms, which we really can't say anymore. But, you know, and given Andre's capacity to drink, I mean, you know, what's going to slow him down, you know? Exactly. Andre all the way.
Yeah. Bruce, who you got in this one? What do you think?
I got to go with my man Andre. I have to agree with Phil. Love Omos. I think they're using almost wrong, but that's my own opinion. I think he needs to be booked more of a monster and be undefeated, kind of like Andre, to make him a legend. But
yeah,
you know, you got to say Andre. Andre was the eighth wonder of the world. We are 30 years since the man passed away.
Yeah,
and we still talk about him.
Yep, unbelievable player. Who do you got in this one?
After 137 cans of beer, 4 bottles of wine, and 27 shots of tequila, Andre still wins.
Yeah, I think. Yep. I mean, I was shocked. I remember almost debuting. What was it, WWE Underground or whatever it was?
Oh,
he
was
in there ripping everybody up, and I go, and they didn't make him look that big. He went in there. He was hunched over wrestling these guys and all that. And then when he stood up, I'm like, I go, this guy might be the same size height-wise as Andre. He's huge. He's definitely, I think he's 7'2". So
yeah, legit.
And they bill him as that. So, and he's a tall guy and a big guy. And I don't know where they found him, but they found him. And, you know, I think they should use him. But, you know, when a guy that size, you know, you've seen it when he was in NXT and early WWE. He's been off TV for a while. What's there for him to do in wrestling? Because that shtick of, you know, the Andre the Giant character where you never lose and I defeat everybody, that's out the window now. Like, what does he do? Like, where does he go from there? You know what I mean? So it's a tough situation. And this is where I think the WWE fails with their writing capacity. You know, they hire these great writers off TV and, you know, their writing staff is pretty well paid and, you know, they make a lot of money to come up with these ideas. But, you know, you get this guy almost who, you know, they could do something with him, but they don't. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Almost should do something.
They kind of, I mean, like you just said, though, they really made him very invincible.
Yeah.
They didn't build him properly.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Phil, yeah. But kind of Breeze brought in as a heel, basically. I think the only way he can turn it around is maybe change his stripes, so to speak, and maybe come to the side of good, maybe, and build him up. I mean, it's hard to generate sympathy for someone of that size, but, you know, maybe have a lot of people gang up on him. Maybe kind of build him up that way, you know, overcoming the numbers odds or something. But I think there's a future for him. I think he could be creative. He's you know, I think he's still learning. He's still young and just really still getting his legs under him. So there could be a future for him. There should be a future for him too. Otherwise, it'd be very much a waste.
Ja Will has a match, MJF versus the Haiti Kid in a ladder match.
Nice. I'll give the height and the leverage to the Haiti Kid. No, I won't. That is funny, though.
That boy from Massachusetts, Fox O'Willie, sends the Haiti Kid all the way. Yeah. The Haiti Kid with the win on that one. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But yeah, I'm just going through the chat here. Jason, everyone had Okada. That's amazing, too.
Really?
Yeah. Almost a mid-cut. Andre all the way. Andre in his prime when George Allen wanted to sign him with the Redskins. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that story. But nonetheless, that's all we got, guys. Any final thoughts on this? Any other matches come to your head at all? Or you guys half asleep? Or what's going on?
No. You know, as much as we joke about MJF here, he's really great. You know, right. He really is. He's really good.
I just saw a headline that AEW took his merch off the site.
Really?
I don't know how. I don't know how. I haven't been on the site, so I haven't checked it. But if that's true, I don't know if this is just a work.
It's most likely a work because you know that they would be doing a clearance of his merchandise if they were getting rid of him, just like they did with CM Punk.
Well, I think
you're right, Bruce.
I think they learned by the Mercedes Moné debut that was the worst kept secret in the world. So if MJF is staying with AEW or going to WWE, it's going to be the best kept secret in the world. To the point where, you know, he's not showing up. They're not going to drop any media bombs on this. I think when MJF returns, wherever he's at, it's going to be a huge shock. There's going to be no buildup to it like Mercedes Moné.
So I know we're all a little bit connected in the industry, you know, in different ways. Has everybody noticed that there is a lot less leaking out of WWE over the last, I would say, 6 months? I mean, I'm hearing a lot less rumors come through, a lot less stuff. So
I think that's the CM Punk thing. That's why. Even though that was a successful return, you knew he was going to be there. They were leaking that stuff. But I don't mean they were leaking the fact that CM Punk was being in Chicago. They leaked to the media and all the dirt sheets that CM Punk is not going to be there. He's not in town. He's not going to be there. And I kept saying to myself, the more they keep feeding the dirt sheets of him saying he's not going to be there, to me was that reverse psychology. He's going to be there. And I think the WWE learned their lesson on that too. So yeah, I've noticed that, Bruce. There's been a lot less leaking to the dirt sheets. Meltzer's been pretty vague too, if you've noticed. If you follow him and all that stuff.
And been wrong.
It's very and wrong too, but just vague statements like, you know, what was one today about the injury to somebody? I forget who. No, it was MJF. And no word on his injury. Okay, no word on his injury. And I think the end quote was that MJF is keeping everything with him and not telling anybody what's going on. He's off social media. He's not on AEW and all that stuff. So I think they're learning the lesson. The age of social media. You know, they tried to use social media to their advantage, but it seems to be backfiring now because everyone's catching on to what's going on. You know, everyone.
Silence is golden, man. It is in some respects. Yep. You know, there's an old saying that says, the more he spoke of his honor, the quicker we counted our spoons. You know, so it's kind of like that.
That is true. That is true. Just checking the chat real quick before we go. Jericho versus Owen.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Oh, no, I was going to say that Michael Hayes versus Jericho that Jason's putting out there. That was pretty.
Oh, yeah, that was a good
That's a great one, actually. The whole music, rock and roll, you know.
We get Freebird.
Yeah, two singers, blonde.
Just to be careful, just to confirm, we have the Freebird version of Michael Hayes, right? Not Doc Hendricks. So we got the Freebird version of Michael Hayes versus Jericho. Yeah,
the Bad Street USA version.
Yeah. Georgia 90, exactly, or Texas 1982 or 3 version. Yeah.
Jason Moaning, Randy Savage versus The Miz. That's not bad. Randy Savage, I don't know, a couple of egos going at it right there, big time. You know what I mean? Of course, again, the entrances would. I think Randy's entrance would be much longer if he came out with Miss Elizabeth carrying, you know, him on the throne and all that stuff. That'd be a long deal. But
how many black eyes would The Miz get?
George Steele versus Otis. Ooh, there you go. George Steele versus Otis. George the Animal Steele versus Otis.
Or versus Bull Curry. How about that? Bull
Curry. Wow. There you go. Nice.
So John Will says the Hayes versus Jericho should be a hair match.
Oh, definitely. Definitely got to be hair match. Inside a steel cage, too, at that. You know what I mean? Good stuff, nonetheless. So it looks like we are way out of time, went over our time limit, but the referee didn't ring the bell. Thanks a lot, ESO.
Where's Tony Schiavone to yell, "We are desperately out of time," which as he used to on Monday Nitro.
But don't worry, folks. We're going to be staying with you until the end of this match. I mean, yeah. About 10 minutes of overrun.
Yeah.
That's getting ridiculous, too. Does anybody remember that Raw was always like till 11:05? Remember that?
Yeah.
You knew it. I mean, they set it up like that. The way that AEW presents it now, it's just ridiculous. It's like, don't go anywhere, folks. We're scheduled to go all the way. We're not going to leave this match until it's over. And they're like, okay, it's 9:01. What time is it going to end? It's usually, I think they go to like 9:10 now. So
yeah,
but whatever. It is what it is. They're trying. And it's funny. They're preempted big time this weekend with the NCAA college hoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
how's everybody's brackets doing?
Yeah, Dayton screwed me. Oh my God, that was a huge one.
How about them Holy Cross girls? Are they gonna?
Oh, I haven't checked the girls bracket yet. Caitlin Clark's playing tomorrow night. The winner, Steve Martin and somebody else.
Yeah,
she's playing tomorrow night, 7:30. I think that game is whoever they're playing, because I think that game was that game might have been last night. So I got to check that. But
Holy Cross did win last night. They are advancing, as far as I know. And I thought they were coming out your way. Maybe they will be soon.
Yeah, you guys got the Final Four. I think you get the Sweet 16 at the Garden, don't you? TD Garden's hosting the last, right before the Final Four.
I think so, and I can tell you.
The games at TD Garden determine the Final Four. So I think they have two games in the semifinals that go to the Final Four.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, no, Worcester used to host a few, too, back Worcester in the day.
Yeah, but TD Garden's rocking when that stuff happens. Everybody comes in town for that, so.
Well, I'll be at an indie show tomorrow night, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah,
I'll get my wrestling fix.
Clay, what do you got on tap? What's on tap here for the weekend? And you get some.
Well, I mean, hopefully we get to do our true crime episode on the Menendez brothers on Monday. But one other thing I want to throw out there, and the reason why I'm not really following the Final Four is I am fascinated by this whole deal with Shohei Ohtani.
The interpreter.
The somehow $4.5 million went out of Shohei's account to a bookie in California. And at first the bookie said, well, Shohei, paid my gambling debts. And then later on in the day, Ohtani's lawyer said, no, it was theft. So, who knows what's going on? Something's not right there. Because
was Hall of Famer Pete Rose involved in this?
But I mean, how does an interpreter make the kind of money where you're going to run up a $4.5 million debt?
Well, enough for nothing. I do believe with Ohtani and all the guys, Suzuki and all those players, part of their contract is to have an interpreter, and part of their salary goes to the interpreter, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, but
they're not making nearly as much as the ball player. But $4.5 million. Yeah, that's like paying the bat boy $2 million to get rid of this bat that's fully loaded with cork and all that stuff. So,
Get the bat extender. That's the old joke.
Epic proportions, though.
Yeah. What do you think, Bruce? Ohtani, guilty, innocent, what?
We'll wait to see how it pans out. But hey, we all know that people bet on sports. Professionals bet on themselves all the time. Most of them are smart enough to do it through a third party, though.
Yeah, exactly. And he's from
I just know from watching people with gambling on pool and just seeing stuff. There's always a side hustle.
Breaking news here: Maria Davis is getting ready to celebrate her birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Shout out! She got wine glasses emojis. She's got presents. Are we supposed to send her something? What's going on?
What a blessing she is.
I think she has a nice Facebook page. I just followed it, Maria. So check that out. But I didn't know that. Happy birthday, Maria Davis. What a day.
Oh, what a wonderful gift.
I put that out on my What a Day page. I do birthday shout outs on my What a Day page. So I'll have to put that out there. That's unbelievable. Good stuff there. Thank you for telling us, Maria. Happy birthday.
Happy 24th birthday, Maria.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, are we at that phase of life? Do we stop asking how old they are, or what do we?
You never ask a woman her weight or her age.
Weight or age, really? Exactly.
But yeah, you go on social media, and that's all they have is weight and age on.
And none of it is accurate, I'm sure.
I'm like, okay, but whatever. Yeah, but happy birthday, Maria Davis. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. You're a great contributor to Money in the Barrel channel.
La Familia.
Very dedicated
person. You're part of the Monty family.
I think I want to arrange Maria to come on What a Day. What do you guys think of that?
Absolutely.
We'll have her come on the What a Day with Joe Lowry show on Wednesday. That's shown exclusively here on the Marty and the Pharaoh channel.
He'd be a great guest.
But Bruce, what do you got going on this weekend?
This weekend I've got a lot of bartending. I'm going to spend the next two nights at the local bar bartending. So I'm not going to see much over the weekend.
You're going to go home all smelly, right? Smelling like booze and all that stuff. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. And Phil, you got an indie show tomorrow night?
Yeah, going to see Enzo, Mr. Anderson / Kennedy, and a group of others.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it should be fun. Got a little table set up there. I hope no one puts me through.
I am going to my first Midwest indie show tomorrow
Knoxville, right?
Yeah, Madhouse Wrestling. We had Luke on, the owner of, he's called the co-conspirator of Madhouse Wrestling. He's a great guy. I had him on the show on Wednesday night, right after Benny was on. And this is going to be a wild thing. There's a tag team, two girls who've been itching to wrestle these two guys, and I think they're finally going to get their shot. So
intergender in Iowa.
It's really not. You could say it's intergender, but the tag team is a girl versus the tag team guys. So I'm going to get some shots of that. I might even go Facebook Live for a couple of times, but definitely do some promo work down there, get a hold of the wrestlers and talk to them and stuff. And it's my first Midwest indie show, so I'm looking forward to it.
You might be their announcer, man.
It's being held at the Countryside Wedding venue. You got to understand it, down here in Southern Iowa, they have a lot of barns, so to speak. They're built like barns. They look like barns, but they use them for weddings and all that stuff. But it's all spruced up. It's all nice. It's glass.
So you're sitting on the third hay bale to the left?
Yeah, third hay bale. Okay. These guys are bringing in. They don't serve food. They don't serve food, so they're bringing in a food truck, and they ship all the booze in, and they want to make sure all the fans drink all the booze and stuff. So it's kind of fun. It's my first Midwest show, so I don't know what to expect. Me and Baby Cakes are driving down. It's a good little ride. It's about 60 miles away, so I got to take a little trip tomorrow night to get over there. So it's going to be fun. So stay
tuned, man.
Yeah, check out my Facebook page and stuff. I'll be throwing stuff up on there, and Madhouse Wrestling in Knoxville. So that'll be good stuff. Yes, Ja Will, Iowa Hawkeyes versus Iowa State Cyclones. Ja Will, I don't know. Is that doable in the brackets? I'm not sure. I'm assuming he's talking about the men's, because the girls are Iowa State. You got to understand, folks, Iowa Hawkeyes, their biggest rival is Iowa State. And when I say biggest rivals, it's cutthroat down here. If you say Iowa State, they don't talk to you. Up north, west, if you're a Hawkeyes fan, they don't talk to you. It's pretty bad down here. Saturdays, the places are shut down when games are on, football games for Hawkeyes. It's, you know, that is it. It's their time. It's their time to celebrate. So,
and Joe, just as I thought,
yeah,
Holy Cross Crusaders are playing your Iowa Hawkeyes.
Okay. Nice. So Holy Cross and UT Martin. So Holy Cross beat UT Martin. So that'll be Saturday,
7:30.
Oh, they're going in the afternoon.
3:00. Yeah.
Oh man, they moved it up. It was originally scheduled for 7:30. Wow. 3:00. So
my team versus yours, I guess.
Wow. Unbelievable. Wow. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah. You know? We'll see.
We're a long shot, of course, but hey.
Have you seen Caitlin Clark play yet?
Only snippets. But
she's got fades of Larry Bird in her with that jumper.
Absolutely.
She's got this great fadeaway, three-point fadeaway that she's just, I think she shoots like 85%. It's unbelievable. You don't think it's going. She shoots from half court.
Yeah.
She's that strong. She is an unbelievable basketball player. Bruce, you've seen her play, right? You've seen some action.
I've seen her a bunch of times. She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They even had her at the NBA halftime or the NBA three-point contest thing with Steph Curry. They had her doing stuff.
Yep. And she got a commercial out with Subway and all that stuff now. So she owned Allstate Insurance or something like that. Yeah, she's getting big.
The hottest card right now out there in trading is Caitlin Clark's autographs.
Really?
No kidding.
Wow. Okay. And she's always signing after the games and stuff, too. So that's amazing right there. I think she could declare herself for the draft. So there was rumors around here that she was going to play another year, but she said no to that. She's going right to the WNBA. So,
you know, people argue about the WNBA and they talk about how, you know, it's how bad it is and how the NBA supports it and stuff, but it's only going to take, you look at UFC. It only took those couple of women athletes. You look at WWE, those couple of women athletes that really all of a sudden all eyes are on those women. And the WNBA needs something like that. And, you know, I'm not going to say Caitlin Clark is the answer, but if we could get more women coming in with that type of hype behind them, maybe we could see the WNBA actually turn into something too.
Definitely. All right, folks, we are way out of time here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Wrestling Remembered. I want to thank the player, the president of Thursday night, Phil DeCesare, ESO, the referee to 30. He refereed a great match this week. Unbelievable.
Sure he did.
Does not help.
In case you haven't heard, not only did I go to high school with Missy Beefcake, but I am the current the 30 champion, as you can see the belt right behind me and all that stuff. So,
and he slugged her boyfriend.
And by the way, anybody out there, if you're in the chat, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys.
We love you.
I'm sure some people missed some of the stuff. Don't forget, my ridiculous recap show airs Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. I just recap all the big stories in wrestling for the week, as well as what's going on the Monty and the Pharaoh channel. So stay tuned for that. It's live. You can catch it either live or on the replay, but that's going good on the channel as well, too. So it's a good recap show, just highlighting the week's events and so forth, Raw, SmackDown, any happenings with AEW and everything, any big stories that take place that you might have missed out on. And plus, I throw a couple of tidbits in there. I'm going to be having guests on as well. So stay tuned for that, folks.
Joe, an idea for the intro for that show. Do you remember the show Perfect Strangers? I think it was Perfect Strangers with that guy, Balky.
He said,
"Don't be ridiculous."
Don't be ridiculous.
You got to have that on the beginning.
have you seen the intro to that yet?
I haven't, but I better check it out.
That those videos that were shot on the home video are mine. I got Roman Reigns climbing the top rope. I was front row for a match when he was U.S. champion. Got him going right up top rope, right in front of me.
And awesome, man.
A quick story about that. When I took that video, the Roman Reigns fan club that has like millions of followers on that, they asked me to use the video. I just said, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want with it. And that thing went viral in about 2 seconds because, you know, it was a great shot of Roman Reigns. And the second half of the video is a young Liv Morgan, Sasha Banks, and Bayley dancing around the ring. And that's when the ridiculous graphic comes up as they're dancing around the ring because they just want to match, you know. So it's kind of neat. It's got a cute little music riff to it, music riff. So it's not bad.
Throwing a little Balky.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, because I always say, this is ridiculous. That's what I always say. You hear me under 30. This is ridiculous. I can't believe it. So tune into the Ridiculous Recap Show. Nonetheless, thank you, everybody in the chat. Thank you, guys. We are way out of time. Probably getting yelled at for being taken so long. But nonetheless, hey, guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you guys later.
Get some good Z's, everybody. Peace.
What a day.